Holy smokes!
We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire. Breaking news from Sports Radio 610 is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
All right. As soon as we don't even get to 5 o'clock fire, jump in. What's the breaking news, Tyler?
Yeah, we got some Houston Astros breaking news, and shocker, it's not great. Our friend from the last segment that was texting in, you don't need to worry about this, but other Astros fans out there, some big news. Astros have placed right-handed pitcher Lance McCullers Jr. on the 15-day injured list due to a right finger blister. Retroactive back to July 20th. To take his place, Lance McCullers Jr. on the active roster. The Astros have recalled right-handed pitcher Nick Hernandez from AAA Sugarland. Another Space Cowboy is joining the big club.
Hey, what happened to Jason Alexander?
Son of a...
All right, so Nick Hernandez, anybody got him? Got Nick?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
He's been up a few times.
Got Nick?
Been up a few times.
Nick Hernandez. I wonder, is he going to get a start? Is the bullpen probably... Probably bullpen piece.
Bullpen, if I remember correctly, right, Tyler? He's a bullpen guy?
I think so.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this is half a squad of Space Cowboys and a training staff that doesn't know what the hell they're doing. So, I don't know, man.
I wonder how long.
Well, you still got your five up there. You got Walters. You got Gusto. You got Gordon. You got Fromber. And you got Hunter. You still got your five-man rotation there.
A five up there. That'll be the rotation moving forward. The hope is that maybe Spencer Arrighetti can get going here as he's pitched three innings and check back in. Listen, I know that Lance has struggled, and some of you have referred to him as not being a major league pitcher anymore. All of those things. This was a guy that was there every 5 days eating up. You know, at least attempting to eat up innings. This is a guy two starts ago who went six innings, one run on four hits against the Dodgers on the road. This is a guy who has had moments this year, and now it just adds more pressure on your rotation. And now it just adds more pressure because, Clint, there was a point where, all right, there's six of them up here. We're liable to having maybe two to three of them not be able to go more than four innings. And we've seen Ryan Gusto come in a couple of times to kind of be the bridge to the back half of the bullpen.
Yeah, yeah.
And now that luxury is gone, right? And maybe you bring in a Jason Alexander, one of the other young starters there, potentially to help you. But I think a couple of things. I think, Clint, you talked about this. This just moves you to me even closer to, all right, we got to make a call. We gotta be on the hunt for starting pitching.
Yep.
Now, Lance, this is a killer for him because these next several starts were going to be crucial to see if he was still going to be able to have a chance to be in the rotation as it continues. And now he's taken himself out, or he's been taken out with this injury.
Yeah, look, there's no doubt about it. The trade deadline is July 31, I believe. So, look, not that there was a ton that Lance could do between now and then. And not that Lance was ever even going to have an impact of late anyway on what their decision is at the trade deadline. But I think this makes it really, really clear at this point in time that the trade deadline, they have to be targeting starting pitching. And I'm talking like third in a rotation type starting pitching. You can't sit back and wait on Spencer Arrighetti. You can't depend on what Lance McCullers does or doesn't do. I don't think any of the guys that you have that you're rotating through right now are real contenders. So the Astros, in a sense of making a move, the trade deadline is the big, I think the next big, hopefully there's another injury, the next big news cycle, if you will, that's in 9 days. Hopefully the Astros can make a move there and bring in a starter.
Yep. Again, if you missed it, the Astros put Lance McCullers Jr. on the 15-day IL due to a right finger blister and recalled reliever Nick Hernandez to replace him on the active roster. I will say this. Hopefully, this is, in a way, good news, fellas, in terms of an explanation. Maybe this has something to do with potentially why his last two starts have been struggles, why his last two starts have been games where he can't locate, have been games where he, his inability to locate has not allowed him to go deeper into games. You know, this is better when you have a pitcher or a player who is struggling and there's no explanation of an injury or anything troubling him. He's just struggling. Hopefully this means if he gets this fixed and rectified, he'll be, you know, in a position where he can kind of be his best on the mound.
Yeah, hopefully that's what it is. We'll see.
Yeah, so that is the latest there with Lance McCullers Jr. If you just missed it, he is on the 15-day IL with a blister on his right finger. Framber, who gets the ball, he is well-rested, has not pitched since since that game we went to, Tyler. That seems like a long-ass time ago.
It really does.
Last two Saturdays ago is when the last time Framber has pitched. Well-rested. Hopefully he can get a dub tonight, Clint, and get them off of this this streak of losing series. They had gone 13 in a row winning, and now they've lost their last three. If they can get a win tonight, they can go ahead and clinch winning this series against the Diamondbacks. But we talked about this on Sunday's game for Hunter Brown. Even though they won yesterday, Clint, you would like for your ace, co-ace, to come out and give you a big-time performance to kind of still, I think, stop some of the bleed and give you some confidence.
Look, I mean, absolutely. I think keep swinging the bats the way you've been swinging the bats the last three games, and Framber go out there and do Framber things, and you win the first two games of the series. Hopefully you can get a sweep. Hopefully Seattle and the rest of the division take one on the chin, and you can, again, continue to just hold them off, if not extend the lead in the division. And you've done the trick. I mean, that's I mean, Framber is one of those guys. I know there was some kind of shin injury. For some reason, they pushed his start back a couple of days. So hopefully he can get out there and just and get through a start without any kind of issues.
Yeah. Hopefully so. So he gets the ball tonight in Arizona. When the lineups come out, we'll let you know what that is. By the way, I know a lot of people just jump in their cars at 5 o'clock getting off. If you have not heard the latest Yordan Alvarez news, Yordan Alvarez yesterday hit soft toss at 60 to 65% effort. He said, though, through an interpreter, Alvarez plans to hit again tomorrow. Of his setback in Florida, Alvarez said he woke up, and this is him through the interpreter speaking himself, he woke up on the day he was supposed to be facing pitching, and his hand was so swollen he could not grip the bat. Yordan went on to say through an interpreter, where the pain is in his hand, it's a little bit difficult to have surgery there. That's why I say I need a little bit of rest right now. It's an area where normally we don't get surgery in that area, but I think it isn't something I'll have to keep dealing with. So that is the latest there with Yordan. And for me, Clint, I have no idea what this means in terms of a timetable.
None. That doesn't move the needle at all. We'll see you when you get back, Yordan.
Yeah. In fact, as you say, it doesn't move the needle. In fact, it makes me a little bit more concerned of what is going, because he's had two setbacks already. And to me, reading this, what's going to happen if he starts to swing full speed and full go again? Because the last time he swung full speed, full go, the day before he was supposed to face pitching, He was doing some live hitting against pitching the day of, and then the next day his hand was swollen.
It sure seems like it's just a roll of the dice or a shot in the dark, doesn't it? I mean, we don't usually have surgery there. It may flare up here or there. I don't know. 60-65%. Just seems like it's just a shot in the dark here. We'll see. Yeah,
can we get and a texter said this? Can we get a name of what the injury is? Dexter said, is it a hamate bone? Can we get a name? Can we get an understanding of what the injury is? Like, I know, hey, Paredes, hamstring. Hamstring strain. Can we get what this is? Just right hand inflammation. Is that what it still is?
You mean like a diagnosis? That'd be wild.
Just an injury of what is it?
This fool's about to piss me off.
5 o'clock fire.
We're past about. All right, the Rockets, they sign another free agent, forward, guard forward, Josh Okogie. He's agreed to a one-year, $3.1 million deal with the Rockets. He is going to be playing in his eighth season, and it gives them another active wing defender slash guard that is a good, good defender. Now, the big key to me will be, is he going to be able to shoot the ball well enough to give them really good minutes, right? This is not a signing that is going to, as Clint would say, blow your skirt up. This is not a huge, huge, huge thing. But I think this is a Udoka type player, a guy that will know his role, will play hard and play defense. And the hope is that he shoots closer to a 35% than a 30% from three. But I just like the move, Clint, because when you look at up and down their roster, we're starting to get bigs kind of covered. Backup bigs kind of covered. Hell, Clint Capella, a third string big, just in case with Steven Adams, if he needs days off, covered. It's wings, plenty of them covered. Now they're doing it with guards and bringing in not just guys that ride bench, but Josh Okogie has been somebody who's played in big games and big playoff games.
Well, it seems like they're building that quality depth that you're going to need to make a run, right? I mean, to play at a certain level throughout a long season, to withstand an injury bug if your team gets hit with it, and then obviously to have the depth necessary to make the run to win one of these things. And they're very intentional, obviously, of, like, as you mentioned, Ime Udoka type of guys. So
that's a real good point you made, because when you look at the finals and you look at the Pacers and you look at the Thunder, I think the biggest thing that jumps out from them is their depth. Absolutely. and their ability to play, you know, have that many quality guys that they can put in their rotation.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, it seems like the Rockets are going from the mode of, hey, let's see what all these young guys are about. Let's see when the lights are bright, what they do. Let's see if we ask them to handle the rock, what they do. Let's see if we ask them to give more effort and more energy on the defensive end of the floor and hustle. And, you know, what do they do? How do they respond? You're going from all of that to, okay, we know what we have. Now let's backfill this young roster of guys that we know what they have with guys that are veterans that are cut from our cloth. And so it just seems like they've shifted gears in a sense, which makes sense. It's time to make a run. It seems like they've shifted gears, though, from let's find out what our young stars have and what they're made of, and to, all right, let's backfill this thing with proven, whatever that depth is, with proven guys that we know what we're investing in, we know what we're getting, we know what we're adding to our roster.
All right, so another nice move as this roster is starting to really fill out for the Houston Rockets.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, former Houston Texan and played for multiple teams, Tyrann Mathieu retires on the eve of training camp. Clint, he must have got up on this thing and just said, damn it, I ain't got another one. Tyrann Mathieu, former Texan, played that 1 year with the Texans. Retires at 33, and I said this earlier, it feels like he could probably still play. He could still go. He's not in his prime, but last year he was still a good safety for the Saints, but he retires after 12 seasons. God, no, Tyrann Mathieu played 12 seasons. I could still remember him at LSU. I could still remember him when that Honey Badger thing started, but he played 12 NFL seasons, and he said on Kay Adams he wants to retire as a Saint. But he is shutting it down after a really, really great career. He's been on the scene since college at LSU, been a known figure in the sports world, and he's shutting it down at the age of 30.
Yeah, man, tip the cap to a hell of a career, man. I've been a Honey Badger fan for a long time. You mentioned the LSU days. I just remember him wearing number 7 and wreaking havoc on opponents back in the day at LSU, and obviously, it didn't end the way that he hoped it would end, but I think it made his journey even more interesting in how he got to the league and how he continued to excel in the league. He overcame some serious issues that have killed many a career. He overcame them and had what some believe is a Hall of Fame career. So, yeah, man, tip the cap to the Honey Badger, man. Enjoyed the hell out of watching him play, no doubt.
No, you're right, and he is somebody who clearly learn from his mistakes, and I don't believe we ever saw that again. He was dismissed in 2012, and listen, let me tell you, it took a lot for Les Miles to pull the trigger on that day. You know,
I think Les had his hand forced.
Yeah, he had his hands forced. But he was dismissed from that, and he was one of those red flag players. There were teams that just wouldn't go with him. Patrick Peterson was a big influence for the Cardinals at the time to draft him, and again, we never heard anything, I don't believe, negative from Tyrann Mathieu from that point on. He had a really good run, and I do, as you said, I think he is a Hall of Famer. Super Bowl champion, four-time All-Pro, three times he was first-team All-Pro, top three finisher in 2020 when it comes to Defensive Player of the Year Award, four-time Pro Bowl, All-Decade Team in the 2010s. I think this is a potential Hall of Famer. Maybe not first ballot, but you start thinking about Brian Dawkins and start thinking about the other safety, Steve Atwater have gotten in. I think his resume is right there with those guys. So I think he is a potential Hall of Fame player. So shout out to Tyrann Mathieu as he hangs it up after 12 years in the league. Coming up, let's do it. Our final one in the 5 o'clock hour. This is our final time to hook someone up with a 4-pack of VIP tickets to go to Texans training camp. We'll do that in the next segment. And we'll look at the Texans, where people believe they rank when it comes to rosters. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right. In honor of my favorite player on the team for the Texans, we'll do this now. This is your cue to call 713-572-4610. Our final winner of the day, as we have hooked someone up with a 4-pack of VIP tickets to Texans training camp, VIP under the tent, baby, and with the heat and the sun, that will be a big one. We've hooked someone up with a 4-pack in each hour. This is the final one of the day in the 5 o'clock hour. Cue to call now, 713-572-4610. In honor of my favorite player on the team, caller number 5, Jalen Petrie in the building, Stafford's own. Caller number 5, 713-572-4610. Caller number 5, you will be in the 5 o'clock hour, our final winner of a 4-pack of VIP tickets to Texans training camp as it starts tomorrow. Starts up, Tyler will take care of you. Phone lines are open. Hopefully, you are our final winner. Congratulations to all our winners today. All right, Clint, somebody texted in earlier, which is interesting to the topic we're making or about to have a conversation about, saying to think, because you said this about Nick Caley, saying he's going to have to deal with and improve upon the things that Bobby Slowick struggled with while a roster is taking a step back. And someone texted in to say that the roster is taking a step back is crazy talk. Well, I believe in the break you said in some form or fashion you disagreed with that comment. And I think ESPN and their voters also disagree with that comment. They were a top 10 roster when they did this last year. They were in the top 10 when it comes to rosters, when they had, you know, Tunzel and they had Diggs and they had Tank Dell and they had
Schultz coming off a top 10 year.
You know, other guys on their team. They were in the top 10 when it came to rosters. This year, the Texans are ranked 13th. Texans are ranked 13th. So I think, as you said, you see them taking a step back. I think that is a clearly not crazy talk. A damn sure, if not the case, a real argument that it is the case. At least more proven talent is out of the building. And I think that's where the Texans are taking a hit. By the way, two teams that were in the playoffs last year. The Buccaneers are 12 right ahead of them. And the Packers are 14 right ahead of them. right behind them. So that's where the Texans sit. And I think the thing that really jumped out to me first, it says here real quick, their biggest strength is edge rushers. Their biggest weakness, not offensive line, interior defensive line. And their biggest X factor this year will be rookie wide receiver Jaden Higgins. Well, but they wish they had Jaden Daniels to go along with C.J. Stroud. That'd be a hell of a combination. But Jaden Higgins, I think the thing that jumped out to me when I saw this ranking, they have the Ravens, the Bills, and the Chiefs all in the top five, 1, 4, and 5 in this top 32 rankings, and the Texans at 13. And to me, the thing is it impossible to be done? Hell no. We see it done a lot. But what are the Texans and how can they make up the, as they have perceived, talent gap, which seems to have gotten wider from last year from where they are according to these folks? And I would actually agree with that myself.
Yeah, look, the talent gap has gotten significantly wider. I mean, there's no way around. I think it's plumb-ass silly to think that this team is anywhere remotely close to as talented on paper as last year's team. They're just simply not. But that does not mean that less doesn't mean more. I think D'Amico Ryans, I think there's three players here in answering your question, right? How do they catch those top five rosters, if you will, the three AFC teams in those top five, the Ravens, Bills, Chiefs, 1, 4, and 5. How do the Texans close the gap from 13 to 5 or 13 and above 5 in the top five? They've already started that with understanding that Laremy Tunsil, extremely talented, top 10 tackle in the game. I think he's number 7 to be exact. That talent wasn't getting you anywhere. You needed somebody in here. You needed the ability to change that room from a personality standpoint, a temperament standpoint, from an approach standpoint. You needed to change the standard in that room. I think D'Amico Ryans making that decision to get out of the Laremy Tunsil business was where they started to allow this team to play at a higher level than a 13th ranked roster, right? So I think it started there. But then it gets to Nick Caley. I think Nick Caley has to find a way to get more out of Dalton Schultz. He has to find a way to get more out of, first, let's go here, C.J. Stroud, then Dalton Schultz, right? He's got to find a way to get more out of Nick Chubb than just a beat-up second-round veteran that you can – a second RB2 that you can depend on. He's got to find a way to get more out of him. I think that is the way that this team is going to close that gap, because you got three guys on this team right now, Ron. Let's say the guys that were in the top 10, which is – what is that? C.J. Stroud, Nico Collins, Joe Mixon?
Well, C.J. wasn't, but...
Well, I'm just talking about mention. Not necessarily in the top 10, but we're mentioned in this year's. So because you got two. You got Nico and Joe Mixon. If you look at the three guys that had fallen out, they're all guys that were top 10 last year. Again, C.J. Stroud can get back to it. Nick Chubb was a top 5 running back in those rankings a year ago, right before this most recent injury. And then Dalton Schultz was a top 10 tight end. If Nick Caley can just get those guys playing up to snuff, then all of a sudden the talent on this roster improves drastically. At least the outlook of the talent on this roster improves drastically. So we'll see there. And then I think the final piece, probably the most important piece, is C.J. Stroud. What does C.J. Stroud do? Does he take that next step of leadership? Does he, in his approach to the game, is he less aggressive and less pushing the ball down the field and more of what he was year one? Now, I know there's a lot of pieces that play into that, but is that the version of C.J. Stroud that we get, or are we still in this aggressive, you know, kick that we saw last year, kind of get him in trouble? So I think those three pieces there, I think are gonna allow this, if the gap is closed, from 13 to 5, I think that those are things got to happen.
Yeah, by the way, the Bengals and the Broncos are two other teams in between the Texans and that top three in the AFC that are ranked ahead of them. To me, it's usually two things that happen, right? There is, hey, you go look at Buffalo's roster over the last couple of years, especially last year. Buffalo's roster was not matching up with the Texans' roster. Buffalo's roster wasn't matching up with a lot of them. And their coaching staff is fine, That case, it feels like Josh Allen was the equalizer that allowed them to kind of catch up to those other teams that may have had better overall rosters. And then you look at other situations where I think in New England for several years, yes, Tom Brady is great, but their entire coaching staff with that roster, I think, probably pulled them up and became a difference in what the talent was versus the other teams they were playing. I mean, some of those defenses that Belichick was able to have over there that were top 10 defenses with the players on it was just insane.
Yeah.
And that was kind of a coaching thing that kind of closed the gap. And then the big thing is if you can find, you know, both, like Andy Reid and Mahomes that can close, and Steve Spagnuolo that can close a gap. Because you can look at the talent the Chiefs had last year. It was not up to par to what some of these other, you know, contenders had. So you can make it up. You can definitely make it up. But usually it comes from, as you would say, the polos on the sideline and or a quarterback that can just kind of take over things. And I think D'Amico is absolutely capable of doing that. We've watched him on the defensive side do that. And I think it's obviously up in the air with Nick Caley. And we've seen C.J. Stroud make up for talent deficiencies in year one. We've seen him do that, and some last year as well. So I think that is the way that they're able to make up the talent discrepancy they have there. All right, coming up, as we get through, we'll get you the latest injury news coming with the Astros, and involves Lance McCullers. We'll tell you about that and make you a little cash. All right, he was in the green last night. He's going to make a little bit more cash tonight. That's coming up. T-Mills Best Bets. All of that as we continue right here live on The Drive.
Hey, thank you, Tyler Milner.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Text line coming through. I think this is a roster. This roster has more pieces that actually fit the system, or what's going on? Like they may have not. I don't see what this person is trying to say. Top talent that they may not have the top talent that they did last year, but I think they have more pieces that fit and will contribute. Someone texted in. To be honest, I just think it's more unknown on this roster than actual less talent.
Yeah, look, I mean, you can phrase it however you want to phrase it. As we sit here right now today, and particularly on the offensive side of the football, there's no Laremy Tunsil, there's a Cam Robinson. There's no Stephon Diggs, let's say there's a Christian Kirk. There's no Tank Dell, let's say there's a Higgins that we've never seen play at the NFL level. I don't know how in the world you arrive at this roster right now being more talented. Now, I'll give it to you that there's been some additions on the defensive side of the football that give you a plus, but you're still not making up. You're talking about losing one of the best offensive linemen in the game at this moment. And look, we can get in the weeds and the value of that player. I'm on record of saying that I'm glad they're out of the Laremy Tunsil business, but we're talking about sheer talent. They're simply not as talented on the offensive side of the football as they were a year ago.
Then it doesn't mean they can't be better, but they're
just it doesn't mean that they can't be better. Hell, I expect them to be significantly better, if I'm being honest. I'm gonna be disappointed if they're not significantly better.
Yeah, we saw.
But I mean, the talent thing to me is I don't know what we're talking about here. Just
Buffalo's receiving corps last year wasn't as talented when Stephon Diggs left it, but they still
found a way to be better.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just where the Texans are. If you get defensive about that, hell, I'm sorry. That's just the reality of it. I like the moves they've made.
Yeah,
I wish they would have done a little more in that interior offensive line, but I like in terms of where I've mentioned they've downgraded in talent, and I think there are significant downgrades. Like there's no more just leaving your left tackle on an island and saying, hey, man, you go lock up Myles Garrett. Them days are over, boss. They're done. Right? I mean, you don't have that ability. It's not like now saying, I'd say even Stephon Diggs you had last year, 75 to 80% of teams' number two corner. If Stephon Diggs caught that number two corner, he was going to eat their lunch. And then Tank Dell was catching the number three corner. You go eat their lunch. You got a big time advantage. Last year, Dalton Schultz was viewed to be a lot better than he is right now. He was top 10 tight end last year. Last year, coming to the season, you say, "Hey, man, you going? Dalton Schultz is going. He's going to eat. He's going.
You're a five headed monster.
Yeah, you get a five headed monster. You can't say that this year. It's not down. It's not minimizing anything the Texans have, or I think it's pretty common sense. Now you can be significantly better, and I think
yeah, and our conversation could change midseason based off what we see.
Yeah, I mean, you could have several guys step up and play. Like, I'm telling you, if Nick Chubb comes out and plays, even remotely close to the what you're getting out of Joe Mixon, then yeah, Dalton Schultz comes back around. C.J. Stroud starts playing a little better ball. I mean, the O-line overall is better than they were. Yeah, hell yeah, the story can change. But right now, nah, I can't. Sorry.
Coming up, Texans All Access. They will kick things off as soon as we get done at 6 o'clock. Tim Settle Jr., defensive tackle, he will join the fellas at 6 o'clock, so stay tuned for that. And then I've already seen the fellas back there, Area 45, Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton, Chris Santiago. They will hold it down as they will get you ready for the Diamondbacks hosting your Houston Astros and so much more on the best late night sports show in all of Houston. Area 45 coming up behind the fellas on Texans All Access starting at 7. And then here in a little bit, we'll get you best bets. As Tyler had a winning day yesterday in the green, we'll see what he does again today. Real quick, before I give you the scroll of injuries that the Astros have given us yet again.
You ain't lying. It's like a damn CVS receipt.
It really is. An old one. By the way, they've shortened those. Cam Smith leading off in right field. They have. I think they heard that, and they've shortened those
I didn't
receipts.
Know.
They have. Cam Smith in right field. Jose Altuve is the DH again. Christian Walker is up to the three spot playing first base. Yiner Diaz, Chaz in center. Bryce Matthews coming off of the two home run game is playing second. Then Dubon is at third tonight. Cooper Hummel is in left field. Zach Short is at shortstop with Framber getting the ball. If you have missed it, Astros, they've placed right-handed pitcher Lance McCullers Jr. on the 15-day IL due to a right finger blister. It's retroactive to July 20th. Nick Hernandez, right-hander from AAA Sugarland, has been called up as the move. By the way, Clint, that's 17 players on the IL for the Astros, including seven starting pitchers. And here's an update. You ready? We got the scroll. Here we go. Spencer Arrighetti threw three innings on the 19th. In AA Corpus, scheduled to pitch again this week at Corpus. So that's a big one to watch. J.P. France threw an inning and a third in the Florida Coast League on the 21st. He's scheduled to then report to AA Corpus Christi this week. So maybe he is getting closer. Two innings tossed from Luis Garcia on the 20th. In single-A Fayetteville, he is scheduled to report to AA Corpus. Boy, I'm telling you, those people in Corpus getting pissed off if you were in that rotation. Your ass is getting moved.
That's all right. The Astros fans down there getting an opportunity to go down there locally and see some Stros pitch a little bit.
We told you a little bit earlier about Yordan Alvarez. He is currently going through a hitting progression. He has been hitting soft toss 60 to 65%, whatever the hell that means. Zach DiCenzo, he still has that left-hand issue, continues with his running and throwing, has not progressed to hitting yet. What's going on with that injury, by the way? That's the same thing we got from Yordan. Brendan Rodgers, second baseman, left oblique, sustained. He also sustained, I don't know if you remember this, did you hear this? He sustained a concussion and a nasal fracture the other night in his rehab assignment in AAA Sugarland. I forgot to bring that to the table.
Had
over
no
the weekend.
Run in, huh?
Yeah, he had a collision. Ran into somebody.
Boy, I hate to be that minor leaguer that did that.
Yeah. Jacob Melton is in Florida, currently going through hitting and running and throwing progressions with that ankle issue. Jeremy Pena in Florida, currently going through hitting, running progressions, and throwing progressions with that left rib. And then Jake Myers is rehabbing in Houston right now. So that is the latest of those important ones. Jake's in Houston rehabbing. Doesn't sound particularly close. Jeremy Pena is still in Florida. Would really like to see him get to one of these AA or AAA spots here soon. I'll be honest with you, Clint. I thought Jeremy Pena might be back by now.
So did I. I mean, the way Dana talked about it. Well, it was last week at some point as you were talking about it, I look up at the TV and I mean, hell, he's doing everything but getting, you know, playing home run derby, it looked like. That was probably a week, 10 days ago. So I thought he would be back by now. But again, I mean, if you're stretching this thing out, you got a 5-game lead in the division. There's really no reason to panic and push him back at this point. And so maybe stay the course and be patient with those guys.
By the way, I don't think I jumped out to Christian Javier. He threw 3 innings in AA Corpus on the 18th. He has moved up to AAA. So he is scheduled to report to AAA Sugarland this week. I'm now starting to take that more serious. Now he's moving up the stages, and if he is somebody, now that is a game changer. He is.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Christian Javier has been a front of the rotation type pitcher for this team, and a dynamite middle innings guy in the postseason for this team. So that's a. I don't know why I use dynamite like that, but that's a big.
I was back here like dynamite.
I don't know where that came from. But that's a big turn of events if he can get back.
Dynamite.
Get back here, J.J. Walker, jackass. All right, T-Mill, no other way to segue. Give us your best bets after going three out of five. Get 3 out of 5. Where you at tonight?
Yes, praise be. Praise be, we had a green day to start our week on Monday yesterday. Looking to do the same tonight. We list them quick here on the drive. If you miss any of these, you can go to the Twitter at T-Mill Real Deal. First three of these five best bets are first five inning bets. I'm on the Cardinals once again, a repeat bet from last night. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Cardinals first five innings money line at -135 as they're taking on those crappy-ass Rockies. Next, I'm on the Stros, the hometown squad, first five innings. That money line is Framber's getting the start in Arizona. Then I got an under for you in the first five innings of the Giants-Braves game. Under 5.5 runs in the first five of that one. Next, I got the Brew Crew. Brewers +1 at -150 as they are taking on the Seattle Mariners in Seattle tonight. And lastly here, an over for you. Brewers, same game. Brewers at Mariners over 6.5 runs tonight in that ball game. Those are your five best bets. Let's get some money.
Trying to ride that Brewers hot streak right now. They've won 11 in a row.
Yeah.
Not bad as they have been going. Are they due or are they going to continue this streak?
You got room for your boy?
No, he doesn't.
I do not. Golly, we're still working back from that rough streak, man.
More little extra room than you had yesterday.
I did, but.
Because you did win.
But I bet more today. I got work.
I need you to start thinking about these things, man.
This is a big night for both of you.
Do I still owe you $200?
Yes, you do.
Okay, I'll send that to you.
The least you could do is think about me and your decision-making so I can play.
I had forgot about that.
Tyler, you don't owe me anything.
If you did, you'd hear about it.
Oh, that's not true. I mean, that $15 I did pick up, though, at Twin Peaks.
You can shut the hell up, sir.
Hey, training camp, baby.
Let's go.
Time to sweat it out tomorrow. The boys are on the field. We'll be there live, and you can start early with our guys Sean Pendergast and Brandon Scott. They will be out there as well as in the loop behind them. We will be watching and reporting and talking about what we saw coming up tomorrow. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. I am Ron, the show as always, Houston. We love you, baby. Again, the Beatles. I'm sorry. The Beatles
That's
are not.
It's not a boy band, and they're the most overrated act in musical history. Get the hell out of here.
You just can't. You always just take it to
That's an part. Insult to NSYNC, no, Backstreet, all these guys on this list. Hell out of here with that English BS.
They're not a boy band, but they're not the most overrated band. They just happen to be the most influential.
Overrated. Go sip some tea, MFers.
Shove it up as we continue here.
Is that my boy Ron?